Welcome to Sabbath School, brought to you by It Is Written. I'm glad you're here. My guest today, Professor of Near Eastern Studies and Professor of Archaeology at Southern Adventist University, he is Dr. Michael Hazel. Dr. Hazel, thanks for being here. Welcome to Sabbath School.
It's good to be with you again, John.
I'm glad you're here because we're studying a great subject today. Lesson 12, Sabbath, experiencing and living the character of God. So let's talk about the Sabbath in education, because that's our theme this quarter. The first page of the lesson talks about Jody, a young lady, Sabbath keeper in graduate school. And it discusses her experience as a student in grad school, keeping the Sabbath. That was a witness to others. Now, you know something about what it means to be in graduate school, doing graduate work and postgraduate work. So what was the Sabbath like for you, a busy student? I'll share this with you. I had a friend when I was living in London, England. He was from Kenya. Sponsored by the insurance company he worked for to come to London and study actuarial science, which is very demanding, but he wouldn't have a study between Sunset Friday and Sunset Saturday and Wednesday evenings when he came to prayer meeting. He said his fellow students couldn't believe that he would take that time off, didn't know how he was even getting through the coursework, not studying on that time. I know you think I'm going to say he was number one in his class. He wasn't. He was number two. So he took time out, did really well. What was your experience like in graduate school? How did the Sabbath play in? Was there an educational component, a recreational component? What did it mean to you, Dr. Hazel?
Well, when I went to the University of Arizona, I had had an Adventist education my whole life, and I had kept the Sabbath in all the schools that I had gone to. And now being at a major research university, state university, it was very challenging. It was, of course, a doctoral program, so it was academically rigorous, and we had enormous amounts of reading to do, enormous amounts of writing to do, and the classes were very, very intense. But the Sabbath was truly a wonderful delight to experience every week. It was the respite in the midst of all of the busyness and all the storm. And my wife and I had just been newly married, and we made a very conscious effort to have a youth group that we were responsible for at the church, two churches actually. We had Bible studies with them on Friday night. On Sabbath afternoon, we would go out hiking in the mountains around Tucson, Arizona, beautiful area up the canyons. Just amazing things. And my fellow colleagues at the university asked me the very same question. How are you able to make it without studying all through this time period? I mean, we can't imagine that. And I thought to myself, how are you able to make it without having the rest that we experience in the Sabbath? And God blessed, I was able to finish that doctoral program in record time. And God blessed me, I think, in that process and has continued to bless. I think it's a wonderful gift that we have, the Sabbath.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember, too, when it comes to God, one and one doesn't have to equal two. With God's blessing, one and one can equal whatever it wants. And what I mean is, if you have a finite amount of time and you devote that time to God, it's like your income. You devote the first 10% to God and then offerings besides. We don't know how he does it, but he does it. He says, them that honor me, I will honor. And that happens a lot when we keep the seventh-day Sabbath. It's a gift given to us by God. The memory text for this week is Mark 2, 27 and 28. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Very meaningful, very profound. Sunday's lesson, December 13, Time to be Astonished. It reflects on the two different creation accounts in the book of Genesis, and then it drops down and asks this question at the bottom. It talks about the educational opportunities Adam and Eve had during that first Sabbath. Surely the Sabbath is for education. It's time spent with God in his presence, growing in God. We are being educated about salvation and about God himself. What do you think, Dr. Hazel, that first Sabbath must have been like for Adam and Eve early in their experience? What was Sabbath keeping like for them, do you think?
Well, I think it was an incredible day. When we read in the Bible, the end of creation week, thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts, this is Genesis chapter 2, this was the first time Adam and Eve could experience everything. They had just been created on the sixth day, all of the incredible things around them that God had created for them, and the beauty that was there, and then to be able to spend that first day with God as He explained to them the amazing things that He created. I mean, they couldn't absorb it all, of course, but they had many, many Sabbaths to look forward to and many experiences to look forward. And it's interesting, God says that He completed His work which He had done and rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it He rested from all His work. So God blessed it, He rested on that day, and He sanctified that day. And it's interesting that He completed creation week with the Sabbath. We often talk about the six-day creation. I like to talk about the seventh-day creation because the seventh day was really when He completed His work. And that was to create a day when we could spend with Him and be educated in His Word.
Let's look at Monday's lesson here, time for rediscovery. So the Israelites were heading out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. They're wandering in the wilderness now. And the Sabbath was a very important thing for them. And it would seem that God was using the Sabbath and those things surrounding it as a means of education and re-education. They'd been steeped in paganism. They'd been surrounded by all kinds of stuff that was never God's plan for them. And then in the wilderness, where there were very few supermarkets, not many places to find food, and there they were. God did this. He carpeted the ground with manna. The manna came on the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day. If you took more than enough, it spoiled the next day, except for on the sixth day, where God said, take twice as much. Manna wouldn't come on the seventh day. Every week, every Sabbath, was a reminder to them, God is my provider. God is my creator, and therefore He is my sustainer. It really was an educational opportunity in the wilderness, wasn't it?
That's right. And the text in chapter 16, verse 4 is very specific. God says that He did this, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. So there's a word there, instruction, that is very much tied to education. God is instructing them week after week in this process of providing for them their needs, their daily needs, what He wants to accomplish through them in spending that Sabbath time with them. No work, ceasing from all of those things, but spending time with God on the Sabbath.
Now, as a kid, I never was anywhere near keeping the Sabbath. It wasn't on my radar. You, on the other hand, you were raised with the Sabbath as a fixture in your life. You were the lucky one. It was a blessing. Bottom of Monday, it says, you're talking to a teenager who's finding the Sabbath boring. He or she is keeping it only because that's what the Bible and that's what his or her parents say they must do. So what do we recommend to people, young people, to prevent this great gift from God made for the human family, to keep this special and to prevent the Sabbath from being just a grind and dull and boring? What's the secret to vibrant Sabbaths?
Well, in our home growing up, it was welcomed on Friday evening with a special meal. My mother always made what we call pecan rolls, sticky buns, cinnamon rolls, whatever you want to call them, fresh. She would make them fresh, bake them that day. We would have a fruit salad. We would have just a delightful opening of the Sabbath. We would light candles in the living room. We would have a special worship time. It was family time. And we would have wonderful stories. Sometimes we would listen to a program called Your Story Hour that was broadcast over the radio. Other times we would have worship as a family and read from Scripture. And it was a very special time. Everybody had prepared for that during the day. The house was cleaned. Showers were taken. We were ready for Sabbath and welcoming the Sabbath. And after church on Saturday, on Sabbath, we would then have another special meal. And often in the afternoon, we would go out hiking. We would go out, do nature things. Sometimes we would go out and sing for people in the community. We would go to retirement communities and sing for the people that couldn't get out. And we would do various activities to reach out to our neighbors as well. So the Sabbath was a very special day that we looked forward to. As we got older, we continued to try to do those kinds of activities while we were in college. I know my friends and I did that as well. And the Sabbath really can be a delight, but so much of it is the attitude that you have and how you can make that a beautiful thing.
I agree with that. I think if families make it special, it's special. I've explained to my children, you know, they're not little anymore. Yes, it's different. There are some things we don't do because God is different, and He's given us this day to spend time with Him and to remember how special He is and how transcendent He is. So, yeah, there are some things we'll wait till after sunset to do because God asks us to and we love Him, but wait, we're not missing out. The food is great. The worship is wonderful. The people are good. It's family time. We don't nearly ever get as much of that as we want. I think if you set out to make it a special, I'll tell you this too. There's another thing. If you allow your family or your kids to just be 100% worldly during the week, and then the Sabbath is this, you might call it an oasis. They're going to call it a desert. I mean, where's all the fun? If fun is full-on worldliness all day, every day, and then you get to the Sabbath and you try to explain to your children, oh, this is a special day. But all week you've been giving them the special stuff. You know what I mean? If the Sabbath is, if life is really worldly, the Sabbath is going to be less exciting. But if Christianity marks your daily experience, then when you get down to the Sabbath, it becomes the capstone of the week rather than the millstone of the week. And that's what you want it to be. Tuesday, time for learning priorities. There's this beautiful chapter, Isaiah chapter 58. And I don't think we're going to read the entire chapter, Dr. Hazel, but if we were to look at this, God is communicating with His people. We've only got 1 minute, so let's just dip our toe in this pond. I'll give you 60 seconds to kind of breeze over Isaiah 58. We'll come back to it later.
Yeah, it's a very amazing chapter. It talks about the Sabbath as a delight, something to delight in, and how the children of Israel were to delight in the Sabbath. And, you know, John, you and I have been to Israel, and we see how at the Western Wall, for example, in Jerusalem, how the Israelis, as they come in to welcome the Sabbath, it's a celebration. They're coming singing, they're coming dancing, coming full of energy and just welcoming this thing.
Yeah, we've
both experienced that together.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, and then when you've seen that, you think, oh, my Sabbaths are pretty, not that I want to necessarily dance in a crowded square to welcome the Sabbath, but you say, wait, they've got something here. They're full, they're celebratory. And then you think about, my Sabbath seemed pretty pedestrian. Maybe I need to at least appreciate the Sabbath. Well, I don't mean to cut you off, but boy, that's a great point. They live it. Yeah. It's just so alive, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back to Isaiah 58 because God calls the Sabbath a delight. We'll revisit that in just a moment. My guest is Dr. Michael Hazel from Southern Adventist University. This is Sabbath School, brought to you by It Is Written. You know that at It Is Written, we are serious about studying the Word of God, and we encourage you to be serious as well. Well, here's what you do if you want to dig deeper into God's Word. Go to itiswritten.study for the It Is Written Bible Study Guides online. 25 in-depth Bible studies that will take you through the major teachings of the Bible. You'll be blessed, and it's something you'll want to tell others about as well. itiswritten.study. Go further. itiswritten.study. Welcome back to Sabbath School, brought to you by It Is Written. We're looking at something that'll absolutely change your life or revolutionize your life or kickstart your life. Our subject today is the Sabbath, experiencing and living the character of God. And a moment ago, Dr. Hazel, we were looking at Isaiah chapter 58, a beautiful passage. When we go there, we're looking at the famous words, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and so forth. God speaks about the fast, the true fast. You fast for this, but I've got a better fast for you. He speaks about that beautiful fast. And then brings this thing to a crescendo when he focuses on the Sabbath. In verse 12, you will be the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell. And why is it? You might like to walk us through verses 13 and 14 and tell us why you think it is that God zooms in or focuses in here on the Sabbath at the conclusion of this chapter, Isaiah 58.
Because the Sabbath is the central thing that connects us to God. It's the thing that in the week that reminds us of who God is and who our Creator is. And in verse 13, it says, if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor it, desisting from your own ways and from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord. We think often that what will bring us most happiness and what will bring us most enjoyment is to do our own thing, to do what is enjoyable to us. We live in a very self-centered society and a very I-centered society. We have iPhones and iPads and iWatches, and everything seems to focus on ourselves. But God is saying, no. He's saying, this is the day that I want you to focus on me. And when you focus on me and when you attune yourself to me and to my will for your life as your Creator, then you will have true delight, because delight comes in knowing God and knowing His purpose for us.
The words here used are beautiful. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, call the Sabbath a delight, then you will delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. God equates Sabbath keeping with prospering spiritually, with thriving spiritually. So if you're not keeping the seventh-day Sabbath, clearly there's a blessing that God wants you to have. Why do you think God doesn't just link Sabbath keeping with obedience. He doesn't link Sabbath keeping with maintaining the status quo. He doesn't link Sabbath keeping with simply being a good church member. He says, I want you to thrive, and you may thrive when you do this. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. Why do you think God connects the one with the other?
Well, thriving is something that we were created to do. And only by reconnecting with our Creator are we able to know how to do that in the best way. And that's why I think the Sabbath, coming back to education, we need to constantly remind ourselves, re-educate ourselves, realign ourselves with God's will in our lives. And the only way we can do that is to focus on His Word, to study His Word. That is what will bring us to the purpose, the will that God has for us, which is only to prosper us and to have good for us in the future.
Wednesday's lesson is time for finding balance. Jesus respected and upheld the law of God, yet He also challenged the religious leadership over their interpretation of the law. So in Matthew chapter 12, we have that fascinating passage where they were walking through cornfields and the disciples were hungry. They began to pluck the ears of corn, that would be grains of wheat, and they threshed them in their hands like this and ate them. And the Pharisees were apoplectic and said, you just cannot do that. Of course, there was nothing wrong with them doing what they did. Of course, God says, don't work on the Sabbath. They weren't working. We've got to find a balance here. How do we find the balance? Because there are questions sometimes where you say, this or this? How do you find the right way forward?
It's not always easy. But I think the principles that Jesus gives us are important ones. And I think the context here is that the system that was in place in Christ's time had made so many laws around the Sabbath to protect the Sabbath. There were over 900 laws that were created to protect this one day. And people found it an extreme burden sometimes to keep the Sabbath and to make sure that everything was according to that way that they have. And even today, when you visit Israel, you sense that as you walk through the streets sometimes on Sabbath. There's joy, as we just described a few minutes ago, but at the same time, there are a lot of very, very strong regulations. If you're staying at a hotel and you're have a Sabbath elevator that you don't have to hit the button for because you don't start a fire on the Sabbath. Then you it stops on every
floor
on the way up, every floor on the way down. So, so how do you find that balance? I don't want to disparage anyone if that's the way they want to keep the Sabbath. That's okay. But we need to find the delight in the Sabbath and have that balance at the same time where we're not, where we're honoring the Sabbath in that sense.
I don't mind saying this. I'll say it. There's a lot of really sloppy Sabbath keeping. In fact, you wouldn't call it Sabbath keeping. A lot of people are very careless about it. Anything goes. I can do this. I can eat out at restaurants. Really? That's not what the Bible would uphold. I would counsel you otherwise and appeal to you to pray and read the Bible and look at Nehemiah chapter 13 in particular. I can go anywhere, do anything. I go to school, go to concerts. You know, I'm not trying to be your judge, but I am trying to be the Bible teacher here today. And that would not be Sabbath keeping the way God really wants for us. Having said that, I don't want to be your judge, and people do need to find their way forward, and it is a matter of finding balance, and it brings us to the bottom of Wednesday. What about your own Sabbath keeping? And I think it would be fair if you said to me, hey, Bradshaw, you worry about you and I'll worry about me. That'd be okay. Let God be your conscience, not me, but I do believe it wouldn't be hard to make a case that there's a lot of really careless Sabbath keeping or Sabbath keeping that isn't Sabbath keeping, and God would want us to do better, he would want us to do right. Okay, having said that, Dr. Hazel, help me with this. How can we prevent Sabbath keeping from being just do's and don'ts? Don't do this, do that. If I've got the right list, then I'm following in the right way. We'd be Pharisees if that was our approach to Sabbath keeping. Help me to keep from being a rule-keeping, list-keeping, do this, don't do that Sabbath keeper.
So rules are important, but we don't keep the rules because of the rules. We keep the rules because of the relationship that we have with Jesus. And the relationship we have with Jesus is one of love. And everything that we want to do for Christ is out of love. So if keeping the Sabbath is part of having that loving relationship, there's times when we will be in situations where it's not ideal. I was flying one time overseas, and the president decided to land in the airport that I was flying out of, and everything shut down, and I could not make that overseas flight, and I don't like to fly on the Sabbath. As a rule, I don't do that, but I didn't have a choice that time. They put me on the next flight the next day. There were only one flight to that country a day, and I ended up flying on that Sabbath, and it was not, but I noticed the difference. I noticed the difference. I noticed that there was something different about that experience, and it didn't feel the same as Sabbath. As much as I read my Bible on that flight, as much as I tried to keep the Sabbath on that flight. So we're put in situations sometimes that are different, but the Sabbath, if it is a delight, is something that we will look forward to. It won't be a drudgery. If we have that relationship with Christ, it will be something that will be beautiful, meaningful, that we will look forward to week by week.
I think it comes back to motive, and I believe that's what you're saying. Yeah. There are a thousand things, or I don't know how many things, that I wouldn't do on the Sabbath because I don't think that squares with Sabbath keeping. But it's not because I'm desperately trying to keep rules. It's because this is my lifestyle. This is how I express my love for God. I think it's God's will for me, and there's nothing about it that's drudgery. You know, I'll tell you one. Every so often, I'd like to stop at a yard sale. I mean, you know, because I'm a curious sort of a fella, and who knows what you'll find, but yard sales are frequently on Saturday, and we'll see a yard sale on Saturday, and we'll just say, if God wants us to get anything there, the item will be there on Sunday. If I don't need it, I don't need it. It's not a rule. It's not if I do this, lightning's going to strike me. It's I don't want to, and I don't miss it because it's a principle I've adopted in my life. I do it out of love for God. And really, that's what's motivating me. I just want to please the Lord, and I want to walk in relationship with Him, and I want to keep that connection the way He wants me to keep it. So attitude, attitude, attitude. Thursday, a time for community. So talk about, we're running out of time, but the Sabbath and community. Why is Sabbath? There is Sabbath, an important time for community. How is it, if it is?
It's a super important aspect of Sabbath, and I think we've really been missing it during these COVID this COVID year that we've been in right now. Community has really broken down in many ways, certainly in churches all across the country and synagogues around the world. It's been a difficult thing to keep connected with community. You know, when the Israelites, the Judeans, were taken captive to Babylon, they no longer had the temple. It had been destroyed. Their communities were uprooted, and they moved to another place, another part of the world. And that is really where the synagogue began in that context, where they had a gathering place together, where they could worship from Sabbath to Sabbath. And the synagogue became a place where they could simply read the scriptures that we have been given, and where they would open the scriptures. And Jesus did that many, many years later in Luke chapter 4. He came to his own synagogue that he grew up in Nazareth. And the Bible says he went there as was his custom on the Sabbath day. And he opened up the book of Isaiah, which we just read from a few moments ago. And he began to teach them from that reading concerning his mission and his work here on this earth. And that was an enormous teachable moment where Jesus was announcing basically his mission as the Messiah of the world and what he had come here to accomplish. So to me, following in the footsteps of Jesus, it is a wonderful time for community. It's a wonderful time to come together. And church is that community for us, and we have been called to gather together. That's what the apostles did. That's what they went out to do as they went on their missionary journeys, to establish churches and communities of believers that could strengthen one another in the faith.
I grew up going to church every week. That is, going to church on Sunday. When I was a young adult, I began to keep the seventh-day Sabbath. I'm sure you would say the same. I love it. It's the best day of the week. It's special. It's family time. It's fellowship time. It is a great day. Bottom of the lesson, in what ways can you enrich your Sabbath experience? Think about that. Dr. Hazel, tell me what you think of this quote. It's from a wonderful book called The Desire of Ages. And here's a quote on, this is Friday. Then the Sabbath is a sign of Christ's power to make us holy. As a sign of his sanctifying power, the Sabbath is given to all who, through Christ, will become part of the Israel of God. Aren't those wise words?
Wonderful words.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful quote. Thanks, Dr. Hazel, Professor of Archaeology and Near Eastern Studies at Southern Adventist University. And thank you for joining us. This has been Sabbath School. See you next time for more of Sabbath School on It Is Written TV.